The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31. Allow me to read the words. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Amen. Paul is now being arrested at a rented shabby barn in a remote area of Rome. Jews from Rome came in groups to the barn early in the morning. Paul preached to them all day long. When Paul finished his sermon at the sunset, some were convinced and others would not believe. And they no more agreed among themselves. They were all together early in the morning when coming to the shabby barn of Paul. And after listening to the gospel delivered by Paul, they became divided into some who believed and others who didn't. Faith is that you deny yourself until you can obey against yourself, who tries to be the owner in order to listen to the words of God through the life which first was listened through the ear. Christians who live based on such faith are destined to be separate from others who wouldn't pay attention to God's words or not even try to listen. Such distinction is not a separation from the world, which we are eager to get along with, but the holiness where we voluntarily separate us from the world to listen to God's words, also through the life, despite being fully capable of getting along with the world. The Lord uses such holiness of Christians to resuscitate this world. However, among the Jews who listened to the sermon of Paul were far more of those who did not believe than believers. Paul cited Isaiah 6, verses 9 to 10, that say, the people of Israel would not even try to listen to the word of God, although God wants to save them, and proclaimed the salvation of God is now headed to the Gentiles to close his sermon. And Acts closes with such a proclamation of Paul, that, as we looked at last time, was for Paul to stress the fact that he devoted his whole life to listen to God's words of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, God's last order to become his martyrs to the end of the earth, also through his life. The words of the Bible are closely intertwined together like a spider's web, and whoever devotes one's life to one word of God actually do so to the whole Bible. Today's scripture, verse 29 through 31, the last paragraph of Acts, tells about the situation afterwards. But there is nothing in verse 29, which means there is no content in the verse. There is footnote instead, and it says, some manuscripts include here after he said this, the Jews left, arguing vigorously among themselves. This means that there are some versions of the Bible testifying that After the sermon of Paul, some Jews who tried to listen to the word of God also through their life, and others who denied the words were separate together and had a huge argument. Acts chapter 8, verse 37 also has no content. Like I told you long ago when looking at the verse, the original copy of the Bible, which had been written for 1,500 years from 3,400 years ago until 1,500 years ago by 400 or so writers, is not left today. The only copies remained are what people transcribed. If there was the original copy, no doubt it would have been the parchment or papyrus that people held sacred and praised than the word itself. So God did not allow the original copies written by the authors to remain in the world. Before mass printing became available, people had copied the Bible with handwriting for a long time. And it happened that people made mistakes or intentionally add or miss some part of the Bible. That is why there are some differences among the copies. It is called codicology to academically identify which is the most close to the original. And based on codicology, a Greek Bible, Nestle Aland, printed in 1898 as an edition that compiled the oldest and the closest to the original. Most of today's New Testament are translations of that Greek Bible. The copy that the Greek Bible confirmed to be the closest to the original does not have content in verse 29. But the manuscript copied later had this addition saying, "Some manuscripts include here, after he said this, the Jews left, arguing vigorously among themselves." So codicologists clearly mention that there is no content left in verse 29 of the original, and then introduce the verse added later. The Jews of Rome, who were together when coming to Paul's shabby barn early in the morning, became divided into those who were convinced by what Paul said and others who would not believe. Then it can be fully indicated that there was a huge argument among them. So the transcribers later kindly added such content to the transcript, like they were authors instead of transcribers. That couldn't be considered based on their goodwill. The writer of Acts, Luke, however, did not leave such a footnote at all. That was nothing necessary to close the Acts. And the testimony saying they disagreed among themselves and began to leave was enough to convey what happened at the moment. So Luke ended the Acts as follows. In verse 30 and 31, "For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." During the 2 years of which Paul was arrested, at a rented Chevy barn in a remote area of Rome, he welcomed whoever comes to see him. The Greek original uses an imperfective verb of apodekomai to mean welcome. People visited Paul's barn in Xeres, and he welcomed all of them. To those who came to see him, Paul proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. Through today's scripture, which is the last part of Acts, we can vividly confirm what Paul was like when he made every effort to spread the gospel to more people until the end of Acts and the end of his life in this land. The writer of Acts, Luke, especially emphasized one expression in the last paragraph of Acts. Paul preached to his visitors about the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ the Lord with all boldness. Luke did not use an adverb of boldly, and instead used a noun to become with boldness in Greek. Paul was old and sick in his later life at that time. It was 30 or so years after when he was called by God on the road of Damascus. He was the best and experienced when it comes to spreading the gospel. He could perfectly memorize what he said to spread the gospel and preach the words without looking. But Paul did not teach the gospel at ease, but with all boldness. The gospel remained the same after 30 years of preaching, but Paul had to be bold until the end of the Acts to correctly teach it. What was the reason? Every person has a sinful nature. Every life of each person is sinful. But we do not recognize this fact, and are sinners accustomed to a life full of sins. The gospel is the power of life, which gets people out of such sinful life. Therefore, where there is the gospel, there's an inconvenience to separate the cousinness of sinful life. To those who receive the good news, such inconvenience serves as a stepping stone for a renewed life, while others who didn't go against the gospel, to reject the inconvenience and keep the sinful cousinness of their lives. There's no exception to the Christians who receive the gospel. The life of Christians should be renewed in the good news day by day. But if Christians try to stay and they could risk themselves to go against or distort the gospel to keep the coziness of their lives. The reason that Jews rejected Paul by hitting with stones or try to kill him wherever Paul preached the gospel was the gospel delivered by Paul shook their cozy daily lives to the very foundation and denied. So Paul taught the gospel with all boldness to the end of Acts. Boldness is bravery. In a mature believer's class, I said, faith is courage. Paul could serve as God's preparatus and martyrs to the end of Acts because he had courage of bold faith. Based on the life of Paul, from when he was called on the road of Damascus till the end of Acts, there was nothing Paul could do without the courage of faith. The source of bravery was not Paul himself. It was the Trinity God who called him. This is the testimony of Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 and 13. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Jesus visited the temple of Jerusalem. Temple was supposed to be holy, but it was no more like the temple of God. It looked like a den of thieves, with the priests and those hired by them only seeking their own interest. Jesus became furious, driving the merchants out and turning over what they were selling. This is called the purification of the temple. It took place 4 days before he died on the cross, the last moment of the 3 years of his public life. The identical event also was testified in the John chapter 2, from verse 13 through 17, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to the Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market. His disciples remember that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. This is the same as the purification of the temple in Matthew chapter 21. But the two events in John 2 and Matthew 21 are not identical. Those who are different incidents regarding the purification of the temple. Particularly, there were 3 years of time gap between John 2 and Matthew 21. If the one in John 2 took place in early part of the public life of Jesus, the latter purification of the temple happened at the last moment of his public life. Upon the beginning of his public life, Jesus visited the temple of Jerusalem and found that the temple was full of corrupt priests and colluded merchants. Outraged, Jesus expelled them and purified the temple from a den of robbers into the temple of God. 3 years later, Jesus once again visited the temple of Jerusalem to finish his public life. The temple he purified 3 years ago again became a den of thieves. Jesus became furious this time again and had to purify the temple of Jerusalem. The public life of Jesus began and closed with the purification of the temple. The purification of the temple, done twice by Jesus, was an incident to turn over the sinful lives of the priests who sought their own interest using the temple to the very foundation. They definitely wouldn't stand. They tried to kill Jesus from the beginning, who turned their cozy lives over. Without courage of bold faith of Jesus, his public life could have not begun and ended with the purification of the temple. Such Jesus makes his order to us through 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 as follows. Don't you know that yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple. Today, when anyone can be saved as a child of God in Jesus, who paid for our sins with the precious blood of the cross, the temple is not just a building made of stones and timber. It is the holy temple where ourselves and the Spirit of God dwell after salvation in Jesus Christ. So we have to take care of ourselves where God's Spirit dwells into a holy temple day after day. Based on the two different incidents of the purification of the temple, where Jesus took courage, and God's order for us to stay holy because we are the temple of God, we have an important lesson. First, it is the recognition that we are Christians who believe in God, but our sinful spirits are prone to getting tainted by the world. Jesus clearly purified the contaminated temple, but it didn't last as the way Jesus purified. 3 years later, the temple of Jerusalem once again became a den of robbers for human desires. Such temple is the reflection of us. Although we are saved Christians, our spirits are sinful and could easily fall to become a den of thieves anytime, let alone a holy temple. Secondly, it is the realization that we can purify ourselves, which is the temple of God, every day, only by taking bold courage. 2,000 years ago, the Temple of Jerusalem was occupied by the priests. They were the representatives of invisible God. What they spoke was the Word of God as well as the Law of God. The guards of the temple completely obeyed what they said, and they could even kill people in the name of God by stoning. It was impossible for Jesus, without taking courage with his life at risk, that he purified the temple even twice, which was occupied by the priests who have the absolute religious power for their own interest. In most cases, people do not consider whether they are right or wrong. They just don't accept when their interest is damaged. They try everything to punish when their interests were damaged. The priests, with their absolute power, must have tried everything to harm Jesus, who overturned what they had. Without God's courage of bold faith, Jesus could have stayed with the cozyness of daily lives and just watched how the temple became a den of robbers. As such, if Jesus needed a courage to purify the temple, then how come we could take care of ourselves as a holy temple day after day without courage? Without bravery, we cannot beat ourselves who are accustomed to sinful lives. The most courageous man in the world wins the battle against himself. To get our spirit out of a den of thieves without bravery of faith doesn't make sense like finding ice in a desert. The final realization is that those who raise themselves with courage of bold faith could be a pathway of God who can renew this world against all odds. Think about it. How come a person who didn't take courage in a battle against himself could be brave enough to live as a pathway of God against all objections and challenges? Jesus had courage of bold faith to risk his life twice to purify the temple of God, which was occupied by the priests. Such courage of bold faith made him become the sacrifice of the cross for man. That was the courage with which he beat himself at Gethsemane when he wanted to avoid death. So he lived again and became Christ to save the whole people. Apostle Paul beat himself every day and won the battle against himself to stay in cozy daily life. That also was the courage of faith. With a very bravery, Paul boldly lived his life as a preparatus and martyr until the very end of Acts. The Lord renewed the history of man through such Paul. Faith is courage. Faith can only mature with courage. To get mature faith means to get away from the life of yesterday every day. Not to stay with cozy daily lives. And to get away from the coziness. without courage of bold faith, our sinful spirits are a den of thieves, no matter how it looks outside. Even if we live a mature life with bravery, we cannot be praised by the world right away. If we throw the cozenness of daily lives, it will make others who are familiar with the cozenness, and they would resist immediately when they don't understand the meaning of inconvenience or their interest is damaged. This is why we cannot win the battle against ourselves. Grow our spirits into the temple of God every day, or live as Reparatus and Martyrs of God, despite all challenges and hardships in the world. The source of courage, however, should not be ourselves. If we take ourselves, who are trapped with sins and death, our courage could not last longer than a couple of days. The source of courage must be from the Lord. When we courageously win the battle against ourselves in God, and live as Reparatus and Martyrs of God, depending on God, despite all hardships and challenges, the Lord, who purified the temple of Jerusalem twice despite the backlash and challenges from thieves, and the Lord, who courageously devoted himself as a sacrifice of the cross to save us from the cozenness of sins and death, will hold us with his courage, and he will accomplish his will through us. The source of courage of old and sick Paul was the Lord till the end of his life. So the Lord told Paul whenever he's put in danger, take courage and don't be afraid to encourage him. Through such grace of God, Paul could be able to stay brave as an apostle until the end of Acts. Please allow me to share my story with you. In the lead up to retirement and looking back upon the 30 years of my ministry, there was not a moment when I didn't need courage. The Lord pinpointed me to save me from the mire of debauchery, to pay for the grace of God. I needed courage to fight against myself who tried to stay in easy daily lives. God raised me as a pastor when I didn't deserve and had me serve for the church, the body of the Lord. The more I tried to become righteous and to keep the church that I served to be righteous, as one owned by the Lord, the harsher challenges I had to face against individuals or groups that felt inconveniences by such effort. I needed bravery at every moment. If I sought after the one coming from myself, I would have given up already. I needed bravery given by God. Without courage given from God, such a challenge and hardship was so huge and fearful. So I say prayer every morning from long ago as follows. Lord, allow wisdom to discern what's right, courage to act righteously, patience not to give up what's right, and grace to live righteously together. Only with the wisdom given by God, I was able to discern where to go from the life like a den of thieves. Only with the courage given by God, I was able to walk the righteous way despite all the hardships and challenges. Only with the courage given by God, I was able to be patient, not to give up on the righteous way, despite inconveniences and disadvantages. Only with God's grace of bravery, I can live by not making compromises with unrighteousness. So without such prayer, I wasn't able to live even a day, keeping myself or walking the way of mission as God called. I will begin every day with a prayer in the future as well, until I die. Because it is obvious that my spirit will fall back into a den of thieves without God's courage to fill our soul. Needless to say, your complete trust and support for me also greatly encouraged me. The four pastors who will succeed my mission and other pastors, as you are well aware, made their utmost effort to keep themselves as righteous pastors. A month later, when I retire, those who are younger and more competent than me will fully take the mission as a righteous trailblazer for the future of the Korean Church at the forefront of the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. They might face unexpected challenges and hardships by some individuals or groups who became uncomfortable with their endeavor. Then I hope you to pray for them to take their mission well through the courage given by God, and to show them your full and continued trust. My dear brothers and sisters, faith is courage. In order to get out of the daily lives cozy and sinful, and to take care of ourselves as a holy temple where God's Spirit dwells, we need to be brave to throw the coziness with boldness. We need it every day, not just once or a day. Such courage can only be given by God. Let us ask God for the courage to get out of the coziness of daily lives. Let us ask God for the courage to accept inconvenience entailed. Let us ask God for the courage of patience, where we can understand such inconvenience would become the stepping stone for a new life. Let us ask God for the courage through which we keep and take care of ourselves as the temple of God despite all challenges and hardships. As long as we live as courageous Christians, God will renew the future of our society and the Korean church through us in the end of the day, like it did through Paul. Going further, God will make the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church, which he planted in Yanghwajin with all his heart and soul, to be a gateway to renew even the opposite side of the earth. Why? Because God, we believe, is the Trinity God who transcends the time and space. Let us pray. Please give us courage so that we can get rid of the coziness of our daily lives as a den of thieves. Give us this courage so that we can win the battle against ourselves who try to stay in the coziness of their lives, not just once, but day after day. Give us courage to accept the inconvenience caused by that. Give us courage to keep and take care of ourselves as the temple of God, despite all the challenges and hardships, so that the will of God to renew the world can be accomplished through us. A month later, 4 senior pastors will lead the church with other pastors. Please give courage to the pastors. Fill their spirits with the courage of God who purified the temple twice at the risk of his life and sacrificed on the cross to save all men. Help them not to lose the fight against themselves, no matter what, and not to surrender to challenges and hardships of the world, so that the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church can fully take the mission as a trailblazer for the righteous future of the Korean church. Let the history of life, which will be renewed to the opposite side of the earth due to the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church. Amen.